Good morning. Good morning, beloved. I like saying that, beloved. Do you know why you're beloved? Because God loves you. Not that I don't love you, but He loves you much more. Because of that love for us that He's poured into our lives, we're going to take some time now. We're going to worship Him. Amen. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. Thank You, Lord, for another day that You have made. And as Your scriptures say, Lord, we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. But not just in the day, Lord, in You. Lord, we're going to rejoice and be glad in You. We're so thankful, Lord, that we can gather together, Lord, as brothers and sisters, Lord, as family of God. And Lord, and have an opportunity to worship You in spirit and in truth. We know that's what You desire, Lord. The Father is searching to and fro to see those hearts that are worshiping Him in spirit and in truth and are turned towards You. So Lord, that's what we choose today. We choose to worship You with all that we are, all that we have, we give to You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, we stand at our church, so there you go. You guys can stand if you want. There you go. However the Holy Spirit moves, so there you go.
When all I see is a battle, You see my victory. When all I see is a mountain, You see the mountain move. And as I walk through the shadow, Your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with You.
So when I fight,
so when I fight, I fight on my knees, with my head lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to You. Every fear I lay at Your feet. I see through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs. Who can be against me? For Jesus, there's nothing impossible for You. When all I see are the ashes, You see the beauty.
Shadow, You hit every battle. Nothing.
torn through the shadow of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
See, who could imagine?
Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart can fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame.
The cross
has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever.
We don't know you guys, but obviously we're all family. So I'm Chris. This is my wife, Amber Rodriguez. We live here in Sela. We minister at Terrace Heights Baptist Church in Terrace Heights. And then this is my oldest daughter, Anna. My oldest son, Pablo, is over there. My younger daughter, Maida, is back here. And then my younger son, Raul, is right there. So we're excited to be here. And Eric is a part of youth pastors cohort online. And so he put up, hey, I need somebody to fill in for me. I'm at camp, apparently. And I was like, yeah, I'll do it. Yeah, sure, why not? So just, you know, helping a brother out. And then our piano player back home is kind of taking the reins this morning. So giving her a little bit of her comfort zone. So we also just had VBS at our church. So it's all the program stuff and all the kids are singing and dancing around. So it's like, yeah, perfect timing. But yeah, we're excited to be here. And our kids go to the Sela schools. And so there you go. And how I got introduced to Eric and also Josh Cook I think his last name is Cook, was the chili cook-off thing. So at the other church off of Tyton, I helped with that last year. I think last year or the year before? 2 years ago. Yeah. You didn't win. It wasn't my fault. It was your fault. Your chili was not good. I'm just kidding. Let's keep worshiping.
Who tells the sun to rise every morning, colors the night with the shades of his glory, wakes us with mercy and love, Jesus does. Who holds the orphan, comforts the widow, cries for injustice, feels every sorrow, carries the pain of his children, Jesus does. So we sing praise to the Father who gave us the Son. Praise to the Spirit who's living in us. When I was a sinner, he saved me from who I was. 'Cause that's what Jesus does. Who understands the heart of a sinner? Showers with grace over all our mistakes. Washes us clean with his blood, Jesus does. Who sings a song of sweet forgiveness? Who stole the keys to hell and the grave? Who has the power to save? Jesus does. So we sing. So we sing praise to the Father who gave us the Son. Praise to the Spirit who's living in us. When I was a sinner, he saved me from who I was. 'Cause that's what Jesus does. Oh, what a friend. Oh, what a friend. Oh, what a Savior. He's always been good. He's always been faithful. Came to my rescue when I needed him most. And he saved my soul. Say that again. Oh, oh, what a friend. Oh, what a Savior. He's always been good. He's always been faithful. Came to my rescue when I needed him most. And he saved my soul. So we sing praise to the Father who gave us the Son. Praise to the Spirit who's living in us. When I was a sinner, he saved me from who I was. So we sing. So we sing praise to the Father who gave us the Son. Praise to the Spirit who's living in us. When I was a sinner, he saved me from who I was. 'Cause that's what Jesus
left.
crimson stain, he washed white as snow.
Lord, now.
Lord, now indeed I find thy power in thine alone can change the leopard's spot and melt the heart of stone.
Jesus paid it all.
Jesus paid it all. The crimson stain, he washed white as snow.
And when?
And when before the throne I stand incomplete, Jesus died, my soul can save. Shall still be.
Jesus paid it all.
Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. My sin hath left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Jesus paid it all.
'Cause Jesus paid it all. Good, every breath that I am made. as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God.
In all my life.
All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
See your goodness.
Your goodness running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. Paid it all to him I owe. My sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Jesus paid it all.
Jesus paid it all.
Do that again one more time. Know that God is not a God of coincidence. He's not a God that looks down in our life and says, oops, I did not mean for that to happen. That's not our God. He plans out every moment for our good. He lifts our feet to guide us on the path that He wants us to walk in. And when we do that, He is going to be faithful. And His goodness is going to reign in our life. It's not lost on me that we have sung the majority of songs about death. There's been something about death in every song except maybe this last one. But An hour and a half ago, I just learned that a dear friend of mine died this morning. And as I'm singing these songs, I'm like, you know, I want to say, oh God, you're so funny, but he's not funny. He's gracious and he's kind, because he knew that I needed that balm for my heart today, that he is in every moment of my life. And I know that my friend Donna is now singing around the throne, and she is not held back in any way, any shape, or any form. She is alive more in him now than she ever was when she was on this earth. He is good, and his goodness endures forever. Doesn't matter what's happening in our lives. So as we go through the rest of our service, as we love on the Lord as only we can, he notices when we're not worshiping him. He notices when we allow our hearts to be turned in another way. So this morning, will you just turn your heart completely toward Jesus? Every moment, in every way, will you just surrender every bit of who you are to him and allow him to begin to minister within you? Jesus, we thank you for today. We thank you for this sweet family that said yes, that would come and lead us into the Holy of Holies. We pray blessing on them, God. I pray for the rest of us, Lord, that you would just touch us, you would help us, you would guide us, you would protect us. I pray for my friend Rob, who has just lost the love of his life, that you would touch his hurting heart in every way that he needs it, God, and that he would feel the prayers of his friends and his family as he learns to walk a new walk without his daughter. God, help us to recognize life is so short, and we need to completely 100% worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for this morning, God. In Jesus' name, amen. A hug a neck, grab a cup of coffee and a cookie if there's any left, and we'll be right back.
We're going to go ahead and do our declarations. If you would stand with us, what we do is we declare over the valley what we believe God's will is for lives and hearts and for our city, and just to allow his spirit to move in people's lives. You know, it says that life and death is in the power of the tongue. So if you would, guys would join with me on three, nice and loud. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city would have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in the Yakima Valley as it is in heaven. Amen. Yes, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this place. We thank you, Lord, for the Yakima Valley. Lord, you have placed all of our lives here at this time, Lord. You have established our borders in this valley. So, Lord, we just pray that you would allow us, Lord, to be ones, Lord, that share with your hands and your feet, Lord, and with your with our voices, Lord, the love of God, that we'd be able to speak the truth, Lord, of your redeeming power through the cross. Lord, that we'd be able to love those, Lord, that no one else is loving. Lord, I pray for families, God, that are in crisis right now, Lord, that you would allow your truth to come in and be revealed to them, Lord, the truth that would help make them free and help bring restoration in, Lord, to those difficult marriages. Father, we pray right now for every person, God, that doesn't know you, Lord, that you would allow the stumbling blocks and the veils and everything that's hindering them from seeing who you are in their life. Just as you did for me, Lord, let the light of this glorious gospel shine bright in their hearts, Lord, so that they receive you, Lord. And when we receive you, Lord, we receive abundant life. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for all of us, Lord, who can stand here today and say thank you for your abundant life, Lord. But help us not to hoard it, God. Help us to share this abundant life with others, God, that need it so desperately in this time. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Mike, I need him to do the slides. So we are going to just announce a few things. The first thing is the men's barbecue, and that's this week. It's on August 20th at Zeke and Tara's home. He'll text out the address when he sends the reminder. And Zeke puts on a mean barbecue. I'm just letting you know. If you're hungry for it, he's going to provide it. And then the next thing that we have is thank you for giving to One Life Family Worship. There's three ways to do it. Online, this treasure box, or the one that's out in the back. And I just have to say that this is probably one of my favorite topics, because I love proving God is right. I love proving that 90% of what we have, we can use for what we need. But that 10%, when it's given to him, the first of your money, then he will make that 90% go way farther than the 100 would have. And I love that concept and that truth about the Lord. And one other thing I do want to mention, even though it's not in a bulletin yet, is we are getting ready to have a women's night. It's going to be in September, so you'll be getting a notice of that, and we'll have a bulletin up for the night that we do it. But it's called Salad Galore. I know that sounds silly, but we put a big round table out in the middle of the floor, and we have this huge bowl of lettuce, and then everybody brings a topping for the salad, and then I make homemade dressings, and Lexi makes homemade dressing, ranch. Anyway, so we're going to be doing that in September, so be watching for that. Amen? All right, in Jesus' name, thank you. So kids, come forward. Let me pray over you. Come on. Come on. Oh, I love you guys so much. You're so precious. And even more precious to Jesus. Did you know that? So let's put our hands out and let's bless these babies. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you, God, that you're not surprised that they're here today, and neither am I. They're so precious in your sight. So, Father, let truth abound in them, in their hearts. Let them believe in you and trust in you and know that you are their friend. And bless them today as they go down with me. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, babies, let's go.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. So last week, I shared on standing right before God. It's kind of a play on words. It was really about right standing before God. And if you remember, it was about us receiving Christ's righteousness, that our righteousness was as filthy rags, that there's really nothing that we could do to be able to have God's full acceptance. And that it says in Hebrews chapter 6 that we're to come boldly, or I guess it's 4, for that we come boldly before the throne of grace, where we can find mercy and help in time of need. And so there's a desire for God to have us come and to be before him. And so today I wanted to kind of carry that same thought a little bit about this righteousness and about this idea that we don't have to remain the same. We don't have to be the people that we were before we knew Christ. I can tell you I'm not. If I had friends that were here, they would tell you that I was very self-centered. I was very focused on all my own needs. I was very cruel. I would say harsh things. I know, it's hard to believe, right? Jesus changed me. And that's one thing that he does. When we come into a relationship with him and we focus on his word and his truths, we start receiving the nature of the divine. We start receiving his divine nature. And if some of you are like questioning that, we'll show you in the scriptures that it is really true. It doesn't make sense. I don't understand why God shares his nature with us. I don't understand why God gives himself in such a way to mankind that was brutalizing him and hated him and had nothing, wanted nothing to do with him. And yet he's asking the Father, you know, to forgive them. He's asking them to not hold those sins against them so that they could come to him. I think we don't really truly realize the love of God. We sing about, you know, what Jesus did for us on the cross, but remember, Jesus died on the cross to demonstrate God's love. It says that God demonstrated his own love for us, that while we were still sinners, not when we were perfect, not when we were all cleaned up, but while we were still sinners, Christ died for us to demonstrate his love for us. And so let's go ahead and look at this verse that talks about this nature of the divine. It's in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, there are some verses that you can read in the Bible, and they can have a lot of weight and doctrine in them. I think John 3:16 is one of them. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's a mouthful. That has a lot. I believe there are other ones. But for whatever reason, I think a lot of Christians overlook this passage, or at least don't take it to heart the way that I believe Peter was trying to encourage his listeners of this letter that he's writing. He's trying to get them to understand that there's a life that's available for them that's not the normal life. There's a life available for them that is the supernatural life, that is a life that's from heaven into us. You know, we were singing in one of those songs that the Holy Spirit lives in us. You might as well say God lives in us, because the Holy Spirit is God. And the Holy Spirit's residency in us helps change us, helps us to receive this divine nature. Now, I haven't arrived with the divine nature. Like I said, I used to be really bad before I was saved. And afterwards, God started working on me all the way through. I've been now saved over 40 years, 45 years. That's crazy, isn't it? Older than some of you, as there's a few, you could probably double both your ages, and you would still be younger than me in my life in the Lord. But I'm here to tell you that he changes us. I don't think we're meant to get saved and then remain the same. I think if we do remain the same, we're missing out on that abundant life that Jesus promised us. What did Jesus say? The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and what? Have it more abundantly. Now, abundant life to me is not remaining the same. I don't know about you, but before I was saved, I was miserable. I didn't have much joy. I was always looking for something to add into my life to be able to have some kind of fulfillment. Anybody else agree? Anybody else searching for that golden, you know, pot of gold at the end of the rainbow before you knew Christ? I mean, my heart was longing for something else. It didn't know what it wanted, but it wanted God. And once I found God, my life started to change. People who knew me before said, "What happened to you?" It wasn't just that I wasn't smoking and drinking and carousing around. It wasn't all that, just that. They noticed that there was actually an attitude change. That's because Jesus started a work inside of me. And when I first got saved, I was very hungry for the word. I believe that that's one of the signs of salvation. God makes you hungry for his word. It's a food for our spiritual life. And so I was devouring it. I was reading it all the time. And it was those precious promises that as I read those, I was able to be a partaker of his divine nature. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. I'll get one amen. It'll be myself if I have to. Verse 3. This is in the English translation. And so I've got three translations here that kind of describe this verse 3 a little bit. Again, I could preach on verse 2 and verse 1, but I really want to focus on verse 4, but you can't pass up verse 3 because it sets the stage for verse 4. In the NET, it says, "I can pray this because his divine power has bestowed on us everything necessary for life and godliness through the rich knowledge of the one who called us by his own glory and excellence." Now, when I tell people that they have already received everything that pertains to their life and godliness, it seems foreign to them because in their selves, they see all of their warts and their pimples and all of their failures. But God has given us. Notice it's in the past tense that has bestowed on us. It's something that's already happened. It's just like the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, we have the fruit of the Spirit. We have love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. And I probably forgot one in there, faithfulness. We have the fruit of the Spirit, but it doesn't come to maturity until we let our life in Christ grow to where we become like him with that divine nature. The NLT says it this way, by his divine power, so it's him doing the work. You know, Paul said something really radical in one of his letters. He says, it's God at work in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. God's doing the work. I come along and I say, "Lord, I'm going to draw near you and I'm going to draw near your word. I'm going to draw near your truths and you're going to do the work in me." I can't do the work myself. I mean, I can guarantee there's people who read the Bible a lot to try to discredit it. And I've heard them on TV and, you know, and they talk about how, you know, it's not true, but they're not reading the word with faith. Without faith, the Bible doesn't come alive. Without faith, it's just words on a page. It takes faith to believe in those words. Believe, it's, you know, without faith, Jesus just dying on the cross means nothing to a person. But with faith, it's life-changing. It's life-transforming. By his divine power, God has given us, has. What does has mean? Has. Past tense, right? Yeah, and you look in the Greek, and it is in the past tense, has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Now, this can be, again, kind of frustrating sometimes. Oh, wait a minute. I thought I had to, like, go to church. I thought I had to, like, read my Bible. I thought I had to do, you know, I had to pray, you know, and I had to stay away from, you know, people that were going to drag me down. There's truth to all of that because that's what those things that I was talking about is helps produce fruits. But he's already given us everything we need for living a godly life. And I would say it starts with the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you guys know, but when the disciples first saw Jesus after the resurrection, They were like afraid it was a ghost. They weren't firm and strong and ready to preach before 3,000. They were a little sketchy. And, you know, it was normal for them that, you know, and Jesus breathed on him, said, receive the Holy Spirit. And he interacted with Peter and John after the fish were caught, you know, on the seashore. And he met some of his disciples on the road to Emmaus. But they still weren't ready to be these witnesses to the whole world. They still weren't ready to do what he said in Matthew 28:20, you know, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Why is this? It's because they had not received the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1, they want to know, so when are you going to set up your kingdom? He says, listen, those kind of times you don't need to worry about. I would encourage all of you, if any of you are sitting there saying, oh, I want to know when Jesus is going to, you know, I want the date and the hour, and you're watching YouTube, I'm trying to figure out the exact time something's going to happen. Jesus corrected his disciples, said, no, you go and you wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. And when the Holy Spirit came, his divine power came in them and they did mighty works. Peter, who probably 40 days earlier, maybe 45 days earlier, was saying, I don't know him, before the rooster crowed, was preaching a sermon to 3,000 people and they were getting saved. God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. He's given you everything. I know some of these scriptures are very difficult to understand because our life does not seem to reveal that. Hopefully I'll be able to show you how we can help this process along. Believe it or not, we can. We received all this by coming to know him. It's through knowing him. You know, Jesus said, you shall know the truth. Can anybody help me with the verse? And the truth will what? Will make you free, set you free. So there's something about knowing truth, isn't there? There's something about knowing what the truth is. But before you can know the truth, you have to come to the truth. You have to receive the truth. You have to have the truth become reality to you. But it will make you free. The one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And then the complete Jewish Bible says it this way. God's power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. I mean, that's three witnesses. I mean, if you go to the Greek, it's saying the same thing. He's given us everything we need for our life. What is our life? Our life is the life that we lead. We go to work. We go to school. We interact with people on a daily basis. You know, we interact with our family. You know, we pay our bills. That's life. But then he's given us everything that we need for godliness. There should be no reason that we're not godly. Crickets. There should be, can I get at least one amen? There should be no reason that we're not godly because he's given us all things that pertains to life and godliness. Either that or Peter was lying to us. How many of you think Peter was lying to us? Then, on the other, if you don't think he's lying, then what has he given us? He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's given us all things. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear the word all, it means everything. That I'm not lacking one thing in my life to achieve godliness. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and, I get a little carried away, squirrel. Through our knowing the one who called us to his own glory and goodness. He's called us to his own glory and goodness. So this is kind of setting the stage for receiving his divine nature. Through knowing him, again, knowing the truth, he is the truth, the way, and the life, right? I am the way, the truth, and the life. When Philip said, Lord, show us the way. Philip, have I been with you so long? I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the way. You're not going to get there any other way to the Father. I am the way. But I'm not only the way, I'm the truth. You know, Pilate says to Jesus, what is truth? Jesus could have said, right here, but he didn't. He was being a humble sheep before the slaughter. But he could have said, no, Pilate, I am the truth. And Pilate would have got more confused, of course. But he is. He is literally the truth. If you want to know the truth, Jesus is the truth. The closer you get to Jesus, the closer you get to truth, real truth. You know, we have an entire generation of people out there that get lied to every day. They get lied to by videos that are fake. They get lied to by news stories that aren't real. They get lied to by news stories that are twisted in such a way that the truth isn't anywhere in them. They get lied to by their schools. They get lied to. They get lied to all the time. You know what they're hungry for? Truth. Real truth. If you start being a person that displays the character and nature of Jesus, which is truth, you're going to have people draw to you. They're going to want to know what you have that makes you different and know things that in their heart will settle. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Because the truth makes sense to hungry souls. All right, let's go ahead and get to the verse here. Oh, yes, let's go ahead and get to the verse 4. This is the NLT. Well, the verse 4 is the really radical one. I know when I said at the very beginning that we have the nature of the divine or have the potential for the nature of the divine, it seems foreign to us because how could we have his nature? It's because he's freely given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And one of those things is his divine nature. And because of his glory, the NLT, and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. We'll talk about that. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. These great and precious promises, what are they? Well, hopefully, if you read your word, every now and then a verse lights up in your heart and you go, oh, wow, something's happening in me. I feel like there's like something's ringing true or something is igniting in me and I'm coming alive. That's the promises of God coming alive in you. Now, the promises that you hold on to, that you cherish, that are like your bread and butter, they may be different than mine. But if you hold on to those precious promises that are encouraging you to be more like God or encouraging you to go through difficult times or whatever it may be, as you hold on to those, you start to share in his divine nature when you let those become life in you. You know, there's a statement in the book of John. It's the very first chapter. And it's talking about Jesus, that he was the word that became flesh. And he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory in the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so we have this word that's at the very first verse where it says, in the beginning, you know, was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So that word became flesh and dwelt among mankind. We know him as Jesus. But you know what? That same thing happens in us. As we eat food and the food is processed by us and the food becomes part of us, do you guys know that? There's parts of the food that literally become part of who you are. And if you're eating good food, you get good parts. You eat really nasty food, as we can see, you get extra big and, you know, and unhealthy parts. But as we eat the Word of God, it starts to take on form in us. It starts to change us from the inside out. It starts to become part of us. So in a way, the word becomes flesh in us. The living word becomes flesh in us. And we start to display the character and nature of Jesus. Hopefully it's that nature that we are displaying, not the old man nature. Has anybody ever displayed the old man nature and you regret it, especially to someone else? Oh, man, it's miserable, especially if you want to please the Lord. You have somebody come up to you and they say, hey, you did this, and it really hurt my heart. And you realize that you were in your old nature. You say, oh, man, forgive me. I did not mean to do that. Forgive me. I'm going to try to not do that to you again because that old nature is ugly. NIV says it this way, through these he has given, that's the previous verse 3, through these, in other words, that he's given us all things to life and godliness, through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them, you know, that word through means literally you have to go through them, you have to apply yourself. Have you guys ever gone through a tunnel? What does it mean you have to do? You have to go through it, don't you? There has to be a process of ending up on the other side. That's the same thing with God's promises. We have to go through them. We have to allow those promises to be something that we apply our lives to. And when we apply our lives to, we're going through them. And you know what? When we go through them on the other side, we participate, or we can participate, in his divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Let's look at it here in another verse, or another version. This is the ABP. This is similar to the Apostolic Bible, but it's also close to the Septuagint. So it's the Greek version of the Bible that goes all the way through the Bible. But verse 4 says, by which the things esteemed for us and greatest declarations he has presented, that through these you should become divine partners. I love that. We're partners in the divine. I know this is puzzling for you, but I'm going to give you the Greek word, and it's associated with another word that we use a lot, so maybe it'll help reinforce this idea that we're partners in the divine, or we have the potential. Because I know Christians I've met, and I wouldn't say that they're partners in the divine. Or sometimes my behavior doesn't align with the fact that I'm partners in the divine. But that still doesn't negate the fact that I have the potential of taking on God's divine nature. You all do. You all probably have to a certain extent. There's probably things that were in your life before that you just don't do anymore. And not because someone told you, don't do that, because that's not like a Christian. No, it's the Holy Spirit in you changing you from the inside out, and you don't act the same. We'll go down here to the Amplified Plus. For by these he has bestowed on us his precious and magnificent promises of inexpressible value. Have you ever thought of, and I don't have it here today because I use on, but have you ever thought of the Word of God, holding up a Bible fictitiously? Or by faith, I'm holding up my Bible. I got to start carrying. I've got this big Bible. That was my NASB that I chewed on. And I mean, one of these days I need to bring it and just show you how tattered and torn and worn. And so every now and then I'll go through and read the underlines. I say, wow, even in those early days, I was getting something, you know, because, you know, you think when you read a verse 20 years later, you go like, I've never seen this before. And then you read your old Bible. Oh, no, I guess I did see it. I guess it didn't sink into me the way it's sinking in now. But it's of inexpressible value. Unfortunately, most Bibles, or even Bibles that are, you know, in our phones, how many know the YouVersion? Anybody use the YouVersion? It's in your, you can be in your phone. You can be part of a Bible group. We're reading through the Bible, the one-year Bible, and yeah, there's a group of us, and every now and then someone will post, hey, this was interesting, or hey, this challenged me. But it's, you know, it's available, so you don't even have to carry a Bible. But your Bible is of an inexpressible value. It means that it is irreplaceable. And yet most people let it be one of the least things in their lives, even though it's so readily available. You know, in the Old Testament, it has this statement that there was a famine for the Word of God. Now, there shouldn't be a famine of the Word of God in this country. And I don't know how old some of you are, but they used to get into the Soviet Union and other, and I think they still do it to China, but they smuggle Bibles in. They used to smuggle them in their cars. They would have their whole trunk full of Bibles to get them into the Soviet Union before, you know, the Iron Curtain came down, is what it was called, or the Cold War, or before McDonald's went to Russia. Let's put it that way. But they would literally open the trunks of these Bible smugglers. And the Bibles were like, because, you know, they thought, oh, we're going to get through, and they get through at times, and then all of a sudden, they're checking cars, and they're coming up, they literally call people, hey, they're actually checking cars today, they're not just letting us through, they're checking trunks and everything, you guys need to pray. And so they would pray, and the guards would open it, and here would be an empty trunk to the guards, or you have nothing in your trunk, and full of Bibles. But that's because those Bibles were extremely valuable, because they were hungry for the Word of God. And yet us who have the Word of God, the precious promises of God, a lot of us take it for granted, unfortunately. All right. sharers of the divine nature. Okay, let's look at this word divine. It means manifesting the characteristics of God's nature. It's the word theos, which is close to the word theos. Theos means God. When you see the word theos in the Greek in the Bible, it means God. This is an adjective used to describe God's nature. That's the word that's being used there when it says divine nature. It's not like a mistype. Every Bible translation you'll see uses the word divine because they want the reader to know this is saying his divine nature. And this word partaker, get this, it's the word koinonos, and it's very close to the word koinonia. Now, koinonia is the word where we get fellowship, but do you know where it's also a word that we get from koinonia? Does anybody know? Communion. Same word. Communion. Or I like to say common union. When we take communion, Jesus is saying, I'm sharing my blood with you. I'm sharing my death with you. You know, Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ that lives in me. And the life that I'm now living in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So Paul is identifying, as he should, with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. You know, Romans 6 says, if you've been baptized, you've been buried in those waters of baptism. And when you come up, you're revealing a new life. No longer a slave to sin, now a slave to righteousness. So it means a sharer, an associate, a companion. You're a companion in the divine nature, or you can be. You can be. And how do you do it? Through his precious promises. By going through those precious promises. By applying those precious promises. More directly, focuses on the participant himself. In other words, it's like God saying, hey, I'm allowing you to have my divine nature, but now you need to participate. You know, it's no different than we have communion. But if you sit in the back of the church and don't take communion, are you experiencing the gift and the ability to remember what the Lord has done for you? You know, Jesus said, as often as you drink this cup and eat this bread in my name, you're, you know, declaring my death. But he also said, you're doing this in remembrance of me, not just remembering that he's Jesus, but remembering what he's done for you on the cross, that you become a new creation, a brand new man and woman. Vine's New Testament translation dictionary says that it means partake, partner, companion, or can be used as communion, fellowship, but it's an adjective signifying having in common. We have in common God's divine nature, or we have the ability to have it. Let's take a look at these promises. Ooh, I might make it through this. 2 Corinthians 1:20, the NET, for every one of God's promises are yes in him. Therefore, also through him, the amen is spoken to the glory we give to God. The William says it this way, but with him, it is always yes. For as many as the promises of God may be, through him, they are always yes. So this is saying, when you read through the word and you read these promises, and you say, I just wonder if that applies to me as a Christian. You know, this is David, you know, talking about in Psalm 23, you know, that you know, you lead me beside still waters. You comfort my soul. You know, you're making a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You go like, wow, could that be me? It can be. It can be because God's promises in Christ are yes and amen. He's no respecter of persons. If he was treating David like that, he'll treat you like that. Isn't that good news? Think of Joseph. You know, he was in prison. He had already been, you know, betrayed by his brothers. He's been in prison at least a couple of years, we believe. And this butler who was supposed to get him a ticket out forgot about him. And yet one day he went from being in prison to next to the Pharaoh. And you say, I just wonder if God can do that anymore. Yes. Yes, he can. Maybe you're not going to be standing next to Pharaoh, but God can take your dark dungeon that you're in and put you in a place that he has designed you for. Doesn't matter how bad it may look right now, he's got a place for you. Or at least he's got a grace for you to go through what you're going through. Through him, they are always yes. This is why our amen through him is for the glory of God when spoken by us. And then NIV says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. Doesn't mean that you just you're hanging that over God's head. Yeah, you said it means that you're in Christ. You're letting Christ live in you. His promises become yes. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Here's another one about promises. This is 2 Corinthians 6, 17 through 18. And then also 7:1. I've told you guys before that sometimes a chapter will hit in the Bible and the verse should have been back with the other one. This is one of those. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. This is talking about the, you know, food that they were eating that was, you know, sacrificed to idols. This is talking about the type of behavior the Corinthians were doing. And Paul's reminding them, come out from among them. Be separate. And when you do, I will receive you, the Lord says. He says this, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And then 7:1 says this, therefore, having these promises, what promises? That we're going to be sons and daughters, that he's going to receive us. Beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So there's a perfecting of holiness that we can enter into. And I believe holiness, divine nature, they kind of run similar, don't you think? God's holy, 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 holy. He's also divine and he has a divine nature. It's very similar. And when we are hanging on to those promises, does anybody ever write down Bible verses? Or is that like an old thing? I remember I used to write down Bible verses that would like trigger me, and I would write them, you know, I'd put them like on my mirror, you know, I'd put them in my car, you know, I put them where I could see them because I wanted to get them in my heart, you know, hide God's word in your heart so you might not sin against him, you know, becoming less than his standard really is what sin is. Sin is missing the mark. So really, in the current state we're all here, we're all kind of sinners because we're all missing the mark that God has for us. But we're also in the righteousness of Jesus before the Father. I know it's very quite a irony, isn't it? That we're all sinners saved by grace, but yet then we're all standing in Christ's righteousness when it comes to how God sees us. That's good news. If I was approaching God based on my own behavior and trying to remain good enough, guys, it never happened. It never happened. I can't measure up. As good as I could possibly try to be, we learned this last week, as much as my righteous acts could be before God, they'd be filthy rags because they don't amount to nothing. What amounts to something is Jesus hanging on the cross and saying what? It is finished. What did he finish? He finished the full work of bringing man back to God. That's why he could say to that thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. Because things were about to change. Okay, let's go to this. Now let's talk about this. So we're talking about having this divine nature, and it's through his precious promises. How do his promises do this in us? How do they change us to where his divine nature is part of who we are? Well, in Romans 12:2, it's pretty well explained. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. That word is where we get the R word, metamorphosis. And they use a lot in games and in movies. You know, that metamorphosize, like transformed. By the renewing of your mind. See, your mind, when you come to Christ, is basically, it can be a blank slate, but unfortunately, it's got a lot of clutter in it. It's got a lot of things of the world. It's got a lot of things of behaviors that you've developed because of the way people have treated you, the way you've learned things, and you need to have your mind renewed. And when the mind is being renewed, you're being transformed. And what are you being transformed into? His divine nature. that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Amplified says it this way, and do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in his plan and purpose for you. That's a mouthful. But what it's talking about is through God's precious promises, us renewing our mind through those precious promises, we are changed and transformed progressively. So really, if someone met me 5 years ago, I should be more like God today than I was 5 years ago. If I'm applying God's word to my life. Okay, you don't believe me with that verse. Let's get two or three witnesses talking here. This is 2 Corinthians 3:17 through 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with unveiled face. Now this is talking about Moses. And Moses, when he came out of the Holy of Holies, the tabernacle, face to face with God, he would shine. He would shine with this glory that was from being in God's presence. And he would put this veil over his face, not so that people would see the glory and, you know, that he was hiding the glory, but he was covering his face so that when the glory went away, they wouldn't see it. In other words, he was making sure that people didn't see that presence of God leaving him. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. I'm here to tell you, the word of God is a mirror. When you open up the Bible and you're starting to read, it's like, you know, you guys know it's one of my favorite verses, Hebrews 4:12. It says that as we're reading that, it's alive, it's active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to divide between soul and spirit, bones and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I'm butchering it a little bit, but the idea is it's getting into us. We're reading it. It's like a mirror. It's showing us our weaknesses. It's showing us where he can strengthen us. It's like speaking to us. Does anybody else experience this with the word? I mean, I think, yeah, this is what it does. And then the glory of the Lord is being revealed. And guess what? We're being transformed. So if we're not reading the word, if we're not getting it in us, if we're not applying ourselves to the gift of the word of God, the 66 books that are indescribably valuable, then we're not being transformed. We're remaining the same. But when we are being transformed, it's into the same image, the divine nature. And it's happening from glory to glory. It's a progressive process. Now, do I wish when I got saved, Jesus would have just finished me and got me all cleaned up and all good? You know, when I was first saved and in my early life, yeah, I wanted that. But no, I've learned to love this journey. Because I'm walking it with God and I learn more about his character and nature. I'm like those cherubim around the throne saying, holy, holy, holy. They're experiencing new levels of God's glory all the time. You know, when I've gone through crisis, a divorce, I learned in that how much closer he was to me. When I was dying almost from the surgery that I had after throwing a blood clot, I learned his presence so much more, his peace. I wouldn't have gotten these things about God had it happened immediately. So the gift of this life and the experience of this life and the struggles of this life is truly a gift. And we have the opportunity as we're beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. We're being transformed into that same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. And now, this is the clincher. I know I told you if you read the word, I know I told you if you focus stuff, but nothing's going to happen unless you do this. This is Hebrews 11, 5 and 6. By an act of faith, Enoch skipped death completely. This is the message. They looked all over and couldn't find him because God had taken him. We know on the basis of reliable testimony that before he was taken, he pleased God. So there's something about pleasing God and having a relationship with him. Then we get this verse 6. And this is the key. It's impossible to please God apart from faith. And why? Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that he exists and that he cares enough to respond to those who seek him. In other words, it's not just enough to read the Bible. We need to read the Bible realizing that this is a gift that God has given us, an indescribable value that you can't put into words. And as we approach it by faith, saying, Lord, your word promises that you're going to change me. You're going to meet my needs according to your riches and glory. You're going to lead and guide me into all truth, Holy Spirit. And as I'm coming to this word, I'm coming by faith, you're pleasing God. And guess what? As you're coming and pleasing him in that way, not just reading it, you know, because you're trying to tick off a checklist, I'm going to read my Bible today, then there's a response that happens in us. And God walks with you, just as he walked with Enoch. Now, I'm not saying any of you are going to be taken like Enoch, which is a pretty crazy thing. But you can still have a relationship so close to God that's like Enoch. And I know most people say, well, you know, that's for those spiritually crazy people. That's for you, Pastor. It's not for me. I mean, everything you're talking about today, Pastor, sounds really good, but, you know, that's for those who really want to be spiritual. That's for those who really want to sacrifice things in their life. I kind of like, you know, the way my life is. I kind of like, you know, the things that I get to do and adding the Bible to my life. You know, I'm not going to get as much, you know, screen time and whatever it is. You know, we all have excuses. We all have reasons why we don't seek after God. But the main reason is maybe we don't believe that he exists and that he's a rewarder. He responds to those who seek him. I think if we all truly believe that he existed and that he rewards us for seeking him, we'd all be seeking him as much as we could. Now, that's not to put a stain on your Christianity. Jesus knows our weaknesses. Says that he was tempted in all ways like us. So he was tempted to be lazy. I know you're going like, no way. Says he was tempted in all ways, yet without sin. He didn't give in to it. And we don't have to give in to it. Why? Because we have all things that pertain to life and godliness. It's in us. We just have to yield to it, to surrender to it. And I believe, as this diagram shows, that as we get into that mirror of the Word of God, spend time in it, start at one place, as we continue to walk it out and let the Word become flesh in us, the nature of the divine starts to become in us. Not that we're ever going to be equal with God. That's not what I'm saying. Although I don't think God's up there worried about us becoming more like him. I think he's cheering us on. How many of you parents would ever dislike your kids excelling over you? I think we would all cheer them on. And if us being evil know how to give good gifts to our kids, how much more the Heavenly Father wants to see us excel? Maybe brag on us a little bit. I don't know. He was bragging on Job, wasn't he? Well, that didn't end so well for Job. Oh, it eventually ended well. It had a rough middle part there. But I think God wants us to be giving him glory by the way we live. And the only way we can do that is if we let him transform us and change us from glory to glory. And yes, take on the nature of the divine. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, as challenging as it is. I know for me, when I read these scriptures, I realize how far I have fallen short from these areas. Even though I do desire, Lord. My spirit desires, as you said to the disciples, your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. Lord, help us to get beyond our weak flesh. Help us, Lord, to develop better habits and better patterns in our lives, Lord. Disciplines, disciples of what we need to do, Lord, to take on your divine nature. Lord, you have given us your righteousness, even though we don't deserve it. But Lord, help us bear fruit in our lives, Lord, that's worthy of the repentance, Lord, that you've allowed us to do, changing our hearts and our minds. Father, I just pray for everyone right now that's here and those that'll hear my voice in the future, God, that you would help them to be changed, to be transformed, to be metamorphosized into who you've called them to be, to be more like Jesus. Just like that song says that we sing, I want to be more like Jesus. Help us be more like Jesus, Lord. Help us, Lord, to let all the difficulties in our life, instead of pushing you away, draw us closer to you and transforming us and changing us to be like Jesus. Amen. Amen. You got a song?
Yeah.
All right. Praise the Lord. Does anyone have anything else to add, share, argue about? Oh, Tim? Oh, you're just standing because you're ready to worship. Okay. Oh, there was? It was one of the songs? Oh.
Let's do Goodness of God. So,
So this, I like, your goodness is running after that part. Your goodness is running after me. And it's, my boys and I were at a men's camp out in northern Idaho 2 weeks ago. I think it was 2 weeks ago. And he likened it to, like this amazing elk hunt that he had. And he goes, and, my son and I just prepared, we scouted, we had trail cams up. He goes, we got all of our gear ready. We bought this, these scopes and, made sure our rifles were all sighted in. And he goes, and we spent a long time to go on this hunt in order for it to be successful. And he likened going after unsaved men in that way, like to where we're hunting. He goes, men, he goes, I want to see more unsaved men here. He goes, I want to see, I want to see that. And we got to be hunting. And so he goes, so next year, he goes, for our camp out, we're going to spend all this time to right now getting ready for that hunt. And it's, the bridge part of the song, it says, your goodness is running after, it's running after me. And that's what he does, man. Like the Lord is running after you the way, whether you want it or not, and whether we've wanted it or not in our lives, he pursues us. And people, they'll camp on Jeremiah 29:11, which is a great verse, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. But then after that, it says, and when you seek me, you will find me. And when you search for me with all your heart. And I was like, that in itself, I've been blessed to, I'm actually the girls wrestling coach here in Selah at the high school. And God has specifically placed certain young ladies in my life, through coaching them. And some of these girls, I've had a chance to watch them, pursue their faith, faith in the Lord. And it's been a blessing to watch that because he's running after them. He ran after you and I. He's running after our kids and he's hunting them down. And so, because, he wants that relationship. And so, so we'll end with, the bridge part, and then we'll end with the chorus. So.
Yep.
goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. When my life laid down and surrendered, now I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness.
All my life.
All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness.
God bless you.
Let's thank the Lord for the Rodriguez coming today.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. Praise the Lord.
Pleasure.
Yeah, bless you. Yeah. It's good fellowship. All right, love you all. Have a great week, and we'll see you soon.